We just don't know what we have. And then one person online said, well, then you can't buy anything. You can't do anything. And another person responded, they said, yeah, that's why we're supposed to make all our own things, you know, and just basically buy from people that we know who's the type of spirit they have. And so he recommends that you do as I did. He said, go through your house with a fine-tooth comb and destroy anything that even appears like the occult or has anything to do with foreign religions. Look very carefully. So we have to look at, as we have come into the truth of Yah, you know, there's some things that we may have that are really trying to take people in this spirit of error and keep them entrenched in the worship of false mighty ones. Well, we got to get that stuff out of our house. You know what I'm saying? We gotta sweep through these things once we come into the truth. And he said, look very carefully. You may be surprised at what you find, even if it's expensive. Break it into bits and get rid of it. He said, in no circumstance should you sell it so that someone else gets hit with the curse. And someone says, well, does this really happen? Let's look at Deuteronomy, Devarim chapter 7, verses 25 through 26. So in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 25 through 26.
Devarim
That's
chapter.
chapter 7, verses 25 through 26. It says, the command of Yahuwah is very explicit. The graven images of their mighty ones shall you burn with fire. You shall not desire the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it unto thee, lest you be ensnared therein. For it is an abomination to Yahuwah your Elohim. Neither shall you bring an abomination into your house, lest you be a cursed thing like it. But thou shalt utterly detest it and shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. So the scripture tells us right there, if we bring things in our house that Yahuwah considers an
That's good.
abomination
That's
or
good.
that an accursed, it says we become cursed like it. And sometimes this is happening ignorantly. And sometimes we may be wondering, man, why is this going on? We may be experiencing things that are chronic or long term, or just seems like we're not getting victory, or we just don't feel right. We can't seem to overcome. Sometimes we got stuff in our homes that are cursed items. And the Torah
Right.
tells us if you have it in your home, you become cursed like it. So then we have to be careful and seek Yahuwah in all things, in our purchases, even, you know, do some research. Oh, okay, I got to buy this. Let me see where it comes from, you know, to make sure that we're not bringing an abomination in our homes. They go on, they talk about other things, say water witching, Ouija boards, cartoons and toys, games. All these different things. So we just want to come out from among this, be set apart, says Yahuwah, and touch not the unclean, and I will receive you.
We'll
So Yahuwah
receive you.
tells us, don't
Hallelujah.
touch what is unclean, and I receive you. Well, the inverse of that, if you touch what is unclean, I won't receive you. That's the inverse of that. So it says, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness, and what fellowship has light with darkness? They don't have any fellowship. All right, spirit of divination. That's it. Any questions before I move on to the next one? All right, so the next one we're going to go to is familiar spirits. We have familiar spirits. We have these different subcategories of them: mediums, peeping and muttering, passive mind states, dreamers, drugs, spiritists, yoga, false prophecy. All those things. All right. I want to say one thing on the spirit of divination. Okay. One thing they said, the thing is we got to identify, we got to bind, and we got to uproot these things. So when there's a spirit of divination in, at work, then the person's responsibility is, first of all, to renounce it. And I want to put this, I got this on the screen. So renounce. When something is renounced, that means it is formally declare to declare one's abandonment of something. So you formally say, I am no longer participating in this practice. I reject it, and you stop using or consuming it. That is to renounce. And to denounce, you have to publicly declare it is wrong or evil. So denouncing is to declare something wrong or evil. That doesn't mean you stay out, go outside in your neighborhood and stand on your driveway and start declaring. That's not what that means. But you have to verbally, like you said, confession, the power of confession. You have to verbally declare this practice that I was in or dabbled in, it is wrong. And I am renouncing it. I am abandoning it. I will have nothing to do with it. I am rejecting it on all fronts. And then you have to bind that spirit of divination. And then we have to pray and ask Yahuwah that he comes and send his set apart spirit to dwell with us again, or with dwell with us, and to release the gifts of the spirit. And a lot of times the people are operating in these spirits, the divination, familiar spirits, because they would not submit themselves and cleanse them, their temple, so that the gifts of the Ruach Kodesh can be in operation in them.
All right.
Because there are the gifts of the spirit. They're in the book of Isaiah. They're in the what they call the second writings, which some of the second writing is a continuation of part of the first writing. Yahuwah has different spiritual gifts that he means for his people to operate and function in. Mm-hmm. But in order for us to function in those gifts and operate in them, we have to be clean.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be right. And
mm-hmm.
and the flip side, when people don't want to do the work to have Yahuwah's spiritual gifts operating, then they go into this other realm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when we talk about familiar spirits, this is interesting. So it's typically behaviors or spirits that are familiar to an individual. And familiar, you got familia. You're dealing with something family-like or something like family. So they're behaviors or spirits that are familiar to an individual due to the amount of time he or she has spent with people in their lives, be it family members or close friends, who had the same or similar spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there's something, I don't know if y'all have ever experienced when you've dealt with a certain spirit because someone close to you had this spirit. And then after a while, maybe the relationship ceases and you depart, you two go your separate ways. But then later on down the line, someone else comes into your life and you say, this feels familiar. Have y'all ever felt that? Like, they remind me of so-and-so or this, or just sometimes you can't even call a name, but you can just say, being around them just feels familiar.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that familiarity is not a good familiarity.
Right.
It's another spirit that they probably said, well, I didn't get her the first time, so maybe I can get her the second time and find a resting place in her. You know, maybe didn't get to you the first time through the other person, but now this other person is coming around and it's round two. But we have to stay away from these things. We have to stay away from spiritists. We got to stay away from people who are trying to give a word and they're not walking with Yahuwah.
Mm-hmm.
And they do not have the spirit of Yahuwah.
Mm-hmm.
And so even though people can come into the set apart walk, they can come and say, okay, I'm going to serve Yah. I know that serving Yah is right. I know that he is the creator. I'm leaving false religions. I want to do and be and follow the instructions of the creator. And that is good. Yet it is still necessary in certain situations to renounce and to denounce any past experience that you have had with any of these practices. And I think sometimes that's kind of where the hangup is happening as we're kind of looking on the landscape of the restoration worldwide, nationwide, that people are, they know that Yah is true. They know that Yahuwah is the creator. They know that the creator name is Yah. They know that Christianity, the RCC, that that's a false religion. They know the Torah is the right way, but they have some stuff that they dabbled in or were partakers of before they came to Yah. And they don't necessarily declare, publicly declare, confess, and renounce those dealings that they had with those familiar spirits, with divination, with witchcraft, with pharmacos and drug and sorcery. They don't renounce it. So then they're not free. They're not free. And so it's very important to renounce those things and to cut off any ties, because if the ties are not cut, then the adversaries can still harass a person in that area of their life. The adversary can still keep his foot in that person's life. He can. Yes, Misha.
Quick question.
Yes, ma'am.
So when you say to publicly declare, does that mean for the person to get in front of the assembly and do that?
I think on the publicly declare, I believe that is if a person has done this and it's not known. Okay, let me put it this way. It's not known that you publicly or audibly before Yahuwah declare this. You know what I'm saying? Now, if a person is doing this stuff and they're involved in this with other people, and other people know them to be involved in this, in divination, in witchcraft, in these things. And I think if a person is connected to an assembly, I think it's only right to do that, you know, okay. Because then people can know, okay, this person, she really has, or he really has cut ties. They're not involved in this. And there's something about public declaration that really helps to hold us accountable. It helps to hold us accountable, and accountability is good. We need accountability as we walk this life, because it helps us and it keeps us in check. You know, it keeps us in check. So I think I would say it depends on the degree of one's involvement in these things and how well it is known.
And if
a person is involved with another person, say for instance, you have a relationship, a close relationship, a friendship with someone who is in witchcraft, who is in New Age, who is in transcendentalism and meditation, all that type of stuff, and you two are still hanging together, then that's a public declaration right there. You say, okay, I'm not doing this anymore. I cannot continue this relationship, because what you're dabbling in is wrong, and I have been a part of it by being in relationship with you. And really, to most time, it does affect that person's life as well. Okay. That spirit tries to get in that person's life and get a foothold.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. Good. All right. So we have to break all ties, basically. All ties have to be broken. And we have to know that Yahuwah's word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. All right. Okay. Okay. Peeping and muttering. I'm gonna touch on this real quick. Peeping and muttering. And the author, he says on this, he says, it's a subtle form of false prophecy that seeks to infiltrate prayer groups and even assemblies, uses a form of speaking in tongues that seem valid to Christians who are not ground the word. So it says, actually, you know, we've been places, and I know we've experienced it, where this familiar spirit operating in the realm of a peeping and muttering spirit, where it attempts to almost in a way give a word through speaking in tongues, but you know, if they're not speaking in tongues, there is not you know through the spirit of Yah that the spirit that's operating in that individual is not his spirit in the tongues, is not a clear tongue coming from Yahuwah to speak to his people. Now, what I mean by this, let me just read this. He said, okay, most of the time when people are in this peeping and muttering spirit, when they try to speak in tongues, most of the time it's more like a murmuring, you know? It's murmuring sound. They said sometimes it's like clicking sound, monotone, that they speak, but they're not speaking the language that Yah has from heaven. That's not happening. And many times in religious realms where there is some type of a spirit field of when the assembly is a spirit field and people are free to operate in the gifts of the spirit, they're free to operate in tongues, you will have those with familiar spirits try to mimic that. But we have to be aware of that. We have to be careful of that. He says, I'll read this one example. He observed in an exhibition one day at a ladies' prayer group. This lady would pray in a rapid monotone under the breath type of clock, 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 chucka, chucka sound. So they're muttering that it's not clear, it's low. And she would then always surface with some type of vision that she says she saw. And she would share it with the group. And he said, as he listened to her, he felt a revulsion in his spirit that was difficult to suppress. She included me in some of her so-called prophecies, and my spirit did not bear witness that it was from Elohim. The prophecies did not come true. But in the meantime, other innocent but ignorant ladies started using this pattern of prayer language. So you see, the spirit begins to, it was spreading through the group. He said, show me after a time in prayer and studying his word that they were dealing with a satanic influence. So we just, like I said before, even in the religious settings and in assemblies, people of Yah have to be prayed up, have to be discerning, and have to be aware to know what is operating, what spirits are in operation. All right. Now know that Yahuwah wants to speak to his people. And uses his spirit and his word, written word and his word spoken by his servant. Elohim will never use an unclean spirit to speak to his people. Any comments on this part? And even when the spirit is familiar, because it's usually something people have experienced in their family or have been familiar with through close relationship, they cannot be used by Elohim to speak a word to his people. And we have to be careful not to take words from people who have these spirits and think that Yah is using them to speak to us. Misha, Sister Misha.
I have a, I guess it's just a, I don't know if it's a question or comment, but
Sure.
I remember, going to a church, and there, we could always count on this one lady that would always speak in tongues, but it would always be the same tongue. We would always know what the tongue would be when she says it. Like, it's always the same tongue. And then she would prophesy. So is that like what you're saying as far as being like a peeping and muttering type situation? Or is that not the same?
That would be categorized the same, yeah, because sometimes it's like the repetitive, repetitive words, like over and over and over again, or is they're saying it under breath, or like you say, or they give a prophecy, and then if the prophecies are not coming true, and or if the person has an unclean spirit, then yeah.
And because I mean, I don't think we ever knew whether she had an unclean spirit. I mean, she didn't sing to me, but I didn't know her.
Right.
But going to that church for the time frame that we did go there, it was just like we knew that, like, once she gets up and she does, I mean, it sounds the exact same
Yeah.
did the last time, and then she would come with the prophecy, and but we just, I guess, I don't know, and then everybody, got excited, and like it was just, and I would be sitting there like, what's going, like, you did that last Sunday, I was just like, okay. But I just didn't, sometimes just didn't see how people, and I mean, I don't know why, like, it wasn't like I really knew what was happening, I guess, but in a sense, like, my spirit was just like, no, that don't seem right.
Right.
I just don't understand how, like, if there are people that have been in the journey longer than me, how you don't recognize it. And I am sitting here, and thinking, like, I haven't been in the journey that long, but I kind of feel like that something's wrong with that. I don't know. But
Right.
yeah, okay.
Yeah, and that is happening. A lot of us have experienced the same thing that you've experienced, and it's very common, in Pentecostal and spirit-filled realms, assemblies. And a lot of times they could just say, okay, did the person's prophecy, did it come to pass? There are different ways to evaluating if something is of Yah. And this is not to have people to be afraid of tongues either. Because then sometimes people go the way the other way because they see the religious realm abusing tongues, and then they get shy and say, well, I'm not gonna let that happen or let the spirit move in my life that way. But tongues do serve their purpose, and they serve their purpose for prayer. When the scripture says many times, sometimes we don't know what we ought to pray for. But the spirit does, and it makes intercession, And sometimes when we don't know what to pray, the spirit of Yah, that heavenly language where our soul, that part of us, that inner part of us that connected to Yah begins to cry out to Yah. It's going to cry out to Yah in the language, in the heavenly language. It's going to talk to Yah when it doesn't know what to say, but it's overwhelmed. The spirit comes and make intercession. Other times the spirit, the gifts of tongues can be an operation in an assembly to communicate to somebody else in that assembly, particularly if they are one who has a different language, when you see an assembly. And then sometimes in assembly, when you're rejoicing and the spirit of Yah is there and the spirit is moving, because what's in you can start speaking in tongues, not that you're trying to give a word to to the assembly. But the spirit is in you and it's strong and that connection is there. It's just about everything being done decently and in order. Yes, ma'am, Sister Anderson.
I was going to add to what you're saying, Sister Leslie. I know when you were in Spain, you shared with me about an experience you had. And always keep in mind that tongues, like you said, it's a